And let's see how the Alter Rebbe explains this. Ki mi shedai te yafel adas es Hashem ul izbeinin begdolasi yizbarach. The first level, comparable to human consciousness, is that of a person who's discerning enough to know Hashem and to meditate on His awesomeness, and to create out of his meditation a lofty sense of awe in his mind, and a love of Hashem in the right part of his heart, so that his soul thirsts for Hashem, seeking to cleave to Him, by fulfilling the Torah and mitzvahs, which are the manifestation and illumination of the Ein Sof energy upon one's soul, by which one may connect to Him. Now, when this person takes this meditation and passion and feeling, and with this kavana, he studies Torah and he fulfills the mitzvahs. And with this kavana, he davens and he recites blessings. It's with this kavana, it's with this thirst and feeling that I want to connect him. And I want to be one with him. And this happens through learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. Such kavan is analogous to the soul of a human being, who possesses intelligence and freedom of choice, and who speaks with wisdom. However, but what about a person whose understanding is too limited to know and to meditate on the awesomeness of the Ein Sof, blessed be He, so as to create out of his meditation a revealed, palpable love in his heart? He's also incapable of creating an awe in his mind and a fear of Hashem in his heart, because he doesn't have this prowess, this emotional or cognitive ability. He merely recalls and arouses. He remembers. He just remembers the natural, intrinsic love embedded, concealed, hidden in his heart. And he brings it out. He doesn't create it. He brings it out from a state of concealment in his heart to a state of consciousness, not necessarily in his heart, but in his mind at least. He remembers this natural love, and he brings it out, not necessarily in his heart, but at least in his mind, being aware of it in his mind, which means, what does it mean to bring it out? So that the will, the conviction of his mind, and the will of the inner recesses of his heart should approve and consent with complete willingness and perfect sincerity. To surrender his life in actual fact for the oneness of Hashem, in order to attach to him his divine soul and its garments, and to unite them with his unity. What is his unity? That is the supernal will that is enclosed in Torah study and performance of mitzvahs, as explained above in chapter 23. And this natural love that he remembers also comprises an awe of Hashem, acceptance of his sovereignty, so as not to rebel against him, heaven forbid. And now, motivated by this kavana, Husar me rava isatayf. He turns away from negativity and does good. V'loy midu mispalalu mevarch. And he learns and davens and recites the blessings. Befirush hamilus levade. Thinking merely of the meaning of the words. Without conscious, palpable love and awe in his heart and mind, which would lend intensity of emotion to his davening, but he lacks that revealed love. He only prays with the meaning of the words. So when he has this kavana that's motivating this type of action, hare kavana zu al derech mashal, the level of this kavana can be compared like the spirit of an animal which possesses neither true intelligence or freedom of choice. And all the emotions of an animal, which means its fear of harmful things, and its love of pleasing things, are merely natural and intrinsic to it, not a product of the animal's intelligence and understanding. So too, by way of example, are the natural love and awe hidden in the heart of every Jew, for they are our inheritance from our aves, from our patriarchs. We have not created them. And they are like a natural instinct in our souls, as mentioned above in Tanya in chapter 18. An animal, as well as a human being, both love. Check out a dog who loves its master deeply. Both are scared and terrified. We both feel pain, animals, and we both feel pain, not like rocks. We both protect ourselves. We both fight for ourselves. And we're both clever. Or at least some of us. But what is the difference? The difference is the animal is defined by its mold. The animal is instinctive. It's programmed, Chassidus explains, in a certain way. And it feels and responds to certain situations and to all situations based on the way and the fashion it was programmed. What the animal is, it is. And that includes powerful, emotional, cute, adorable, and pleasing, attractive qualities. No question about it. A human being has the unique ability to recreate himself or herself, to transcend his mold and his character, and recreate his persona. It's difficult, but that is what grants man his uniqueness. Chassidus interprets the words we say every morning, "Umaysar ha'adam in abehema ayin," which literally means the uniqueness of a man versus to an animal is nothing, which means we and animals are alike. Zakht Chassidus, that you can also read it, "Umaysar ha'adam in abehema ayin." The uniqueness of man relative to animal is that he can become nothing. He transcends his somethingness, enters a state of nothingness, and recreates himself based on that nothingness, based on a truth that transcends him. So in our own spiritual life, there are also two levels. In the Jewish experience, there is the animal Jewish experience, and there is the human Jewish experience. What is the difference? The human Jewish experience is where the Jew creates his Jewishness. This is the original, unique, holistic approach of the Alter Rebbe, the whole person approach, where the Alter Rebbe insists that the mind has to play the leading and pivotal role. The person must study Jewishness. comprehend and meditate upon the truths of existence, the all-transcendent, all-embracing reality of Hashem, the root and essence of his soul, his mission in life, the resources and battles he has to deal with, and so on and so forth. The next step is to translate this knowledge and identification into emotional drives. The Alter Rebbe believed, as discussed earlier in Tanya at length, that Hashem established the human system, that our reasoning, our intelligence has the power to provoke and elicit feelings and emotions. So the proper understanding of the godly concepts will bring out its respective emotions in the human heart, that you fall in love and in awe of Hashem. But this, as he put it, is very difficult. It's very difficult because, first of all, you have to have the proper intellectual disposition, which not everyone has. Daitek tzara, some people don't have that disposition. B, you have to have knowledge of the subject at hand. We all engage in meditation, by the way, but in other subjects. For example, if you hurt my feelings or you insult me, you use something bad to me, I could feel angry for a week or for 2 days or at least for 6 hours, right? What's making me feel so angry for the next week? The fact that you insulted me? No, my meditating on the fact that you insulted me. If I would not meditate on it, it would come and it would go after 10 minutes. But I meditate. I meditate. You know who this guy is? And you know what he planned? And you know what he was thinking? And you know what he's going to do tomorrow? And you know who I am? And you know how he said it? And you know what motivated him to say it? And you b'chlal know his reputation? That gets you angry. So it's difficult when you're honest about it. Besides that, C, you have to have a heart that's going to respond to this meditation. You can meditate. Darfst haben ein jüdischer Herz. So the Alter Rebbe says that even if you can't do this, you can't be a human Jew, you could still be a Jewish animal. There's another level. Naturally, a Yid loves godliness and spirituality. The Alter Rebbe writes in Torah, Parshas Noach, it says in Shir Hashirim, Mayim Rabim La Yuchlu Lechabes Esa'avo Naharis La Yishtefua. A multitude of waters cannot extinguish the love, and rivers cannot overwhelm it. Zogd Alter Rebbe, Mayim Rabim are the tumultuous waters of our careers, of our work, of our daily headaches in the physical world. Even our impulses and our drives and our being schlepped here and here, it could not extinguish the intrinsic love that a Yid has to connect to godliness and spirituality. But as the Alter Rebbe puts it in Teilukuti Torah Parshas Bahar, that this love is usually veiled and concealed within our physical drives and loves. So what I feel in myself is, I feel physical lusts, I feel cravings. Inside that love, there's a kernel of lust towards spirituality. So all my cravings and impulses are a cover-up of a deeper love. But take a human being and give him all of his physical lusts, and you'll see he's still empty. Why? Because it wasn't about physical lust. You think you love physicality? No! It's symptomatic of a deeper spiritual desire and a deeper spiritual love. As we say in Yedid Nefesh, Nafshi choylas avasecha ana kelna refana la baharis lanayam zivecha. The natural state of a soul is it's lovesick. You know what lovesick means? Nafshi, my soul is choylas avasecha. A soul loves transcendence. A soul loves melting away in the all-pervading reality of Hashem. Anna, please Hashem, heal my soul. Show your countenance. It's sick with your love. And as explained in chapter 18, this is the spark of Jewishness, which constitutes the essence of a Jew. It's the super-rational dimension of the Jew that compels him to die for his Jewishness. It's the core of the Jewish consciousness that experiences Hashem firsthand, and for which the ultimate definition of life is Ein Oid Milvadei, and he's ready to give everything up for that definition. It's the capacity of the Jew to stare death in the eyes and to declare Ani Mamin, I believe. So when this parsha, this week parsha's Bahar, says that on the seventh year, sabbatical year, Sviach Tzircha Loisikter, you shouldn't harvest, you shouldn't reap. Sviach Tzircha, what is Svichin? Do we know what a Svichin are? There's two types of grain or produce or fruits that grow in the field. One comes as a result of my plowing and my sowing, my planting. That certainly you're not allowed to cut in the Shemitah year. Then there are Svichin. Svichin are weeds or even fruits or even grain that grow naturally. I did not sow anything intentionally, but as a result of kernels or seeds that fell in the ground that were maybe sowed in years ago, or maybe it's a seed that fell off when I harvested the crop of last year, or years ago, different things grow out. Zogdal Terebbe, in Teira Ervayigash, a Yid has two types of loves to Hashem. One level of love you have to sow, and that you have to plow and plow. You have to deal with your earth and with your dust and with your ego and crush it and refine it and then sow in seeds, and then you'll have a beautiful tree. That's one type of love. But then there are svichin. Svichin means you haven't sown anything and you haven't planted anything, but someone else already sowed it in the ground. The avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov implanted, and they created a genetic mutation, so to speak, like he said in Perek Ches. They implanted in the Jewish soul a yearning, an aspiration to godliness. Now, truth be told, Svichin never have the splendor and the organization that normal Zeroyim have. They're wild, they're unorganized, they're unstable, and so forth. They're not developed. So obviously, the human love has a unique power, a unique superiority. It's internalized. You worked on it. You developed it. You created it. It's part of your personality. The Svichin, you did not produce. They're there naturally. But on the other hand, the former, you need to work for. The latter is always there. Both of them you're not allowed to cut on Shemit. Both of them you're not allowed to cut on Shemit. The meditative love is permeating. The intrinsic love is electrifying, but not permeating. The animal love exists in you in spite of your personality. The human love exists in you because of your personality. We discussed then in chapter 18, this is the love. Hashem defines us as my sister, my wife. This is the love you have to your sister and the love you have to your wife. The love you have to your sister can never die. Even if you don't talk to your sister for 40 years, she's still your sister. The love you have to your wife can come and go. And you can become, you can get divorced and become disconnected. But when it exists, it's much more passionate than the love between you and your sister. One is intrinsic and inherent, and one is created. Zog de pasuk v'la'achaysay parshas emer v'la'achaysay hapsula hakreve love ashalay hasa leish layitama. Zog de tzemach tzedek in parshas Eirat Torah parshas Emor. Hashem says, I will always contaminate myself for a yid. Alekeichem kayinu. Hashem is a kayin, zog de Gemara in Sanhedrin. I will always contaminate myself for a yid because la'achaysa, he's my sister. You cannot talk to God for 60 years, but he's your sister. You're intrinsically connected. You share the same DNA, the same blood. If you don't talk to your sister during her lifetime, but you'll show up at a funeral, heaven forbid, at least. There's a connection, an essential connection. A Jew is internally connected with godliness and spirituality. Ish is fire, Eish Yud. Ultimately, because of that sister element, a Jew can never really enjoy his passion to physicality and to coarseness. Loi Haisalish, he could never really enjoy the density and the grossness of the materialistic world because he's a Chaisai. No.
Oh, yeah. She's saying that there's some very, very rare exceptions, like someone who comes back from the Russia Gomorrah.
Okay, well, that's Peter Klamath Beis, we're not dealing with it. Let's conclude here. I'm going to conclude with a little story. There was one Sayyid who Nebuch had problems with alcoholism. Now, generally speaking, we all know that Yiddishkeit doesn't like the concept of drinking alcohol. But nevertheless, in every generation, they say that there are Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, and then there are also Lamed Vav alcoholics, who exempt the entire generation, hopefully. And in every generation, among them, there's the one Yid who drinks for all the Jews in the generation. And among them themselves, there's one Yid who drinks for all the generations from Avraham Avinu till Mashiach. And so was our dear Yid who lived in Eastern Europe. The problem was he lived in Minsk. And in Minsk was a very misnagdish city, which means a city of Jews from Lithuania who opposed deeply the Hasidic movement. And this guy liked drinking. So they excommunicated him from the community. Learning he did not learn. Davening he did not daven. And so forth. They excommunicated him. They said, here you cannot have an aliyah. One guy had pity on him and said, you want to find a place for yourself? Go to Lubavitch. It was the times of the Rebbe the Tzemach Tzedek. So he comes to Lubavitch. He comes into shul. It was 6 in the morning. He thought they'll wake up. And out will come the mashke. Out will come the alcoholic beverages. He sees they wake up. The first thing, they go to the mikveh. And the chassidim start learning chassidus. They learn chassidus for a long time and then meditate on the chassidic concept. So he thought, okay, now they'll have a drink. They start davening. Davening took a good time. Davening with real ecstasy and transcendental passion and so forth. He thought, finally, after davening, no, they took out the Gemara. Mamash like Minsk, just with chassidus and long davening. They learned Gemara a whole day. A whole day, mamash. At night, they learned again chassidus and they went to sleep. The next day, again. So he thought maybe Shabbos. Shabbos, the same thing. A month, 2 months went by. There was no drinking, but he was there already. So he started to learn with them chassidus. And he got turned on and inspired. And after a few months, he was transformed. And Yutis Kislev came. And Yutis Kislev, they took out the Lechayim. So he came into the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, and he tells, he says, Rebbe, you deceived me. You guys deceived me. I came here for one purpose. I thought I'm going to find here one thing. And you deceived me in giving off that veneer, Lubavitch giving off that veneer. Really, I found something else. Tzemach Tzedek said, you're 100% right. Dei nefesh ha-lekis at abgenar dei nefesh ha-bahamas. Your divine soul deceived your animal soul. So there are two levels in the Jewish experience. One level in the Jewish experience is the human experience, where you recreate your personality. That's one type of kavanah. This is the highest, this is the soul of a human being. So everyone is well aware of his bainanus, but not in godliness. So you have to, the subject at hand here is an easy one. This guy is obnoxious and he insulted me. But here, he insulted my ego. But here, the subject at hand, you have to have familiarity with. And most people don't have familiarity. Try to meditate on God. What? On the mic, you can meditate longer. Here, as a result of your recreating yourself, you transcend yourself. And as a result of meditation, you create new emotions that respond to this meditation. There is a real palpable love and a real palpable awe. Yiri law, as he put it. A supernal awe. Not just a fear, but an awe, a higher type of awe. You know that when Reb Nachman was a child, or the holy Reb Nachman of Breslov when he was a child, every time he thought he sinned, he would blush. He would blush from Hashem. That's a higher level of yira. But then there's someone who is incapable of that. He can't recreate himself. He can't transcend himself. It doesn't mean he's hopeless. The Alter Rebbe says, remember who you really are. You attack a feel only your animal soul, but your divine soul is constantly working and nachmer. Sometimes it's creating scenarios and situations where it deceives your animal soul. You think you're coming here for one place and really you just need the spirituality of it and so forth. Remember that. Recount it. You don't have to create that love. You just have to tune in, tap into it. You care about spirituality even when you're apathetic and careless and detached and obnoxious and melancholy. You care about divinity. You care about spirituality. That is the essence of a Yid Nafshi Chaylas Avasecha. And the Alter Rebbe says even more than that. Sometimes you don't even have the ability of connecting with that feeling in a passionate way. Only in your mind. But you know it. Which means you know that that's who you are, and that allows you to produce an intellectual of conviction. Not an emotional inclination, but an intellectual conviction that you decide this is what you want. You want Hashem's oneness in your life. You want the real thing. And with this kavanah you daven. And Alter Rebbe says when you're davening, you're only thinking about Pirush HaMilos, which means when you read the words Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu V'Elokei Aviseinu, you're not trembling and you're not in love. You just know what you're saying. But you know that this is your truth and you would love to love it. You don't love it, but you would love to love it. It's not an emotional inclination, it's an intellectual inclination. It's not a feeling, it's a conviction. But it's a conviction that leads you to action. To daven, to learn, to do the mitzvahs. And this kavanah is motivating it. What's the kavanah? The awareness of your intrinsic spirituality that creates a will and a desire that leads to behavior. So you're not passionately consumed. No. There's a Hasidic melody on the words, Essen, Essig, Trinken, Trinkzig, Schlafen, Schlafzig, aber daven and daven sich nicht, und lernen, lernen sich nicht. Which means, I don't know, how do you say, Essen, Essig, translate. Essen, eating, Essig. It happens. Drinking happens. Davening doesn't happen. What does it mean? It means as follows. Most people don't have to meditate to create a passionate gravitation to the food. If you're starving, you didn't eat all day, before you sit down to dinner, you don't have to think, okay, since I want to exist, and to exist I need nourishment, and this is going to give me my nourishment, therefore I'm going to eat. If we would need that meditation, we would eat differently. Much differently. Healthier. You don't need that meditation. It's naturally there. Essen essig. On the other hand, sometimes people are ill, that they don't want to eat. So why do they eat? They know that they have to eat. So they sit down, and they accept the commandment of the doctor that they have to eat this. And that motivates them. And in our spirituality, we have the same thing. The first level is, there's the real love. That's motivating you. And then there's, I'm not totally excited. But I know that this means being loyal to myself. So you stick it out and you do it. And you connect with it. And that's a powerful kavana. So this is, you're not now being a human yid, but you're being an animal yid at least. This is an animal. An animal has feelings, an animal is attracted, an animal rejects, but the animal doesn't have free choice. It's part of the essential chemistry of the animal. Just like the animal cannot decide that it doesn't want to exist today, that's part of who it is. It also cannot decide, I don't want to love this today, or I don't want to hate this today, or I don't want to fear this today. This is how you were programmed. This is the setup of the computer. Blame the computer. This is the program. This is part of its structure. So a yid is the same thing. A yid doesn't have free choice whether to be spiritual or not. You don't have free choice. That's how you are. Just like you are, you're spiritual. Nafshi chaylos avasecha. So you don't create it. You just connect to a pre-existing element in you. And yes, it doesn't have that intensity. It doesn't have that splendor. It doesn't have that permeating quality. But it is. So in the kavanah itself, you have the chai and you have the medaber. So we have here in this chapter a tale of four Jews. A tale of four Jews. The rock. The Jews like a rock. The Jews like a plant. The Jews like an animal. And the Jews like a human being. You can be a spiritual stone. Just do the mitzvahs. You can be a spiritual plant. You add the dimensions of speaking and thinking. You can be a spiritual animal and you can be a spiritual human being. Zogt Alter Rebbe, if you can't be a Jewish human being, at least be a Jewish animal. Just conclude, Rebbe Tzion of Babov once came to Krakow in a horse and wagon. So the Chassidim wanted to untie the horses and lie down to serve as horses that are going to schlep the Rebbe's wagon. So they started to untie the knots. But the Rebbe, the Baba Rebbe, refused. And he said, my whole life I'm working on transforming horses into human beings. And now you want to take human beings and transform them into horses? Have a wonderful week. I thought about it. It's an Aveda. The whole thing is an Aveda. You know, this is like the science of godliness. You know what I mean? It can become. There's a system of godliness. There's a personality. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's a mitzvah, and there's kavan, and there's the ur, and there's the ar, and there's the gitzim, and the spashtas. It's like it's dissected in a very serious way. Not in Tanya. Yeah.
It's
a mushal on a mushal.
That would explain Tzitzim and Espashis or Helam and Hester.
Hester and Gilui. A mushal is the concept of Hester.
All that the 3,000 had is, has significance to something. Tzitzim 3,000.
There's a reason why there were 3,000. But I'm... But that's Hester and Gilui. Because in the Mashal, you don't see the Nimshal. In the Mashal, you don't see the Nimshal. The student can go away hearing a story, and it won't even dawn on him that there was a Mashal for a Nimshal. Put it differently. Water in Eilam Hazah is a Mashal for Chesed of Atzilus. You can drink water for 90 years, and it shouldn't dawn on you once that there's a concept of Chesed, certainly not Chesed of Atzilus. Isha and Isha, and their relationship of the man and the woman is a marshal for the relationship between Hashem and Knesset Yisrael, and it evolves from that relationship. Reishikak of Lerachel later in the parak. I'm involved. Nonetheless, you can be involved in a relationship and gaze at a man and gaze at a woman, and as we know, it wouldn't dawn on you once that it has anything to do with godliness. On the contrary, so a marshal can really totally obscure the nimshal and veil it and serve as an opaque garment. So a mashal is a dugma for Hester. But then there's another concept. There's a concept of the teacher communicating the idea to two different students. And to one student, he gives it with all of its depth. And to another student, he dilutes it and he discusses it in more simplified terms and he removes a lot of the meticulous and profound nuances and so forth. There's no Hester. There's no Hester here, but there's a Tzimtzum. They both know it's coming from the teacher. They both know it's an idea from the teacher. They both even know there's more to the idea, and so forth. But this is coming from an external element of his mind. It's not concealing his mind. It's not concealing that there's a message. But what element of the message? You're giving him a more restricted element of the message. Tzimtzum bin Shnei Badei Aaron is not Hester. Tzimtzum bin Shnei Badei Aaron is a chiddush. There, Tzimtzum doesn't mean contracted, it means compressed. Tzimtzum Shchinasi bin Badei Aaron, or what Alter Rebbe says in Perek Dalet, Hashem was Metzamtzum as Chachma and Torah, is always tight that there the Tzimtzum is different. There is Tzimtzum as contracted, right, or limited. And then there's Tzimtzum as compressed. The very nature, the very essence of the Shekhinah, he compressed Ben Badei Aaron. The very infinite Chachma, he compressed in Shnayim Eichas and Betalos. Huh? Instantly. It has that power, that intensity. So this Tzimtzum is different. Here Tzimtzum is, he cuts. $1 is not $100, and $100 is not $1 million. You don't have the $1 million. Yeah, that's very good. So the Alter Rebbe says, "Biyachas to mitzvah and kavana, the difference is in tzimtzum and aspashtus." Who? It's the end of Perek Lamed Aleph. Achani lo yosisi es atzmi. So it changed his life? That's very moving. You never heard that? Erev Nachman used to blush as a child. When he would do something, he thought it was an aveira, he would right away blush. Why would he blush? The Eberster. It's all right, you can leave it. The form of the wave is betzimtzum and aspashtus. If you have someone that's close to you, if you have to go out and support your family in the morning, not necessarily, are you passionately in love with your wife and children, or close person, or whoever you're supporting, that you're driven to run out of your home to go and support them. Not necessarily. Or if someone close to you asks you for a favor to go take out the garbage or buy milk, not necessarily you have a brennendik passion in your heart, I want to go do it. On the other hand, your mind tells you, since you're very deeply connected to this person, v'chuli v'chuli, this is the right thing to do. This is the right thing to want. This would warrant an emotion.
And rightness is something you
and mayach could, huh? It triggers something, but not necessarily a palpable emotion towards rightness either. But man has the ability to act and behave even if he's not burning. No?
I'm not tired yet.
You know that. I mean, we constantly do things that way.
That's where I started from.
Okay.
It's not from here. But let's look at the scenario and then try to place it rather than seeing whether that's this.
The Alter Rebbe compared it in Perek Tzayin to an ubar b'me'imai. There's a palpable emotion, a child that's born, and there's a child that's still stuck in its mother's womb. You can't get it out. It's a child, which means it's an inclination, it's a product of the mother, it's a product of the mind, but you can't get it out. It's still part of the mind. It's stuck in the mother's womb. I want to show you something interesting in his Lashon. In the first one, look the line on Nun Aleph Amid Aleph, the line that starts with Kavanazu. Nun Aleph Amid Aleph, five lines from the bottom. Or Bekavanazu, the meditative love. Hu Leimit, okay, A. Or Mekayim HaMitzvahs, B. Okay. V'chein Bekavanazu, he repeats the words, V'chein Bekavanazu, Mispalel, C. Or Mevarech, D. Okay? Four things with a separation between Leimed and Mekayim HaMitzvahs and Mispalel and Mevarech. Right? Okay. On Amid Beis, when he discusses the second, the lower form of Kavana, the animal Kavana, you see page 102, the line begins, Bay Chas V'Shalom. He says, O B'Kavana Zu, Husur Meira, okay, A. V'aisa tov, B. V'loimet, C. U'mispalel, D. U'mivarech, E. B'firush ha'milos. There's five things, not four things. Surmeira, v'aisa tov, v'loimet, u'mispalel, u'mivarech. Before he said, loimet, u'mekayim ha'mitzvahs, v'chein b'kavonazu, u'mispalel, u'mivarech. Okay? So first of all, there's five and not four. Right? Second of all, before he says Mekayim HaMitzvahs, here he specifies, Sur Meirah
V'Aseitev. That's really the focus, not five, four.
Over here he He fragmented the mitzvahs. He divided the mitzvahs. Sur meirava isetayv instead of... Furthermore, in the former, he says first loimed and then mekayim ha-mitzvahs. Here, it's sur meirava isetayv and then the loimed. Right? First mitzvahs and then Torah. Okay? In the former, he divided the two. He went v'chein bekavanazu mispa'alam avarach. There's a division between Torah and mitzvahs and davening and brachas. But in the latter, he says, "Sur mirav oisa tov aloymet umespal lamavarich." He doesn't say "v'chein bekavanas umespal lamavarich." There's no division, right?
But then there's other places also that we have to look because it goes throughout the.
No, but here he's talking about the two kavanas that are motivating. Like we're in other places. Not in this form. I mean, he says Krishna, whatever, different things. And look at Levi Yitzchok, the Rebbe's father, writes a whole beer on it, and he says this is the chilik of a medaber and a chai. It's dependent upon the chilik of a medaber and a chai. By a medaber, Torah comes before mitzvahs. By a chai, Torah comes after mitzvahs. The difference between first parsha and Krishna. It says first, v'shinantam levanecha v'dibarta bam b'shivtecha b'veisacha, and then mitzvah, so k'shartam lois al yadacha. In the second parsha, we already deal with the animal, v'nasati yisav v'satcha levam tacha. First it says, k'shartam v'hoyo l'taitafes, v'limadetam eisam az b'neichem l'dabar bam b'shivtecha b'veisacha. First mitzvah and then Torah. And he says, Torah is real meichen. Which is the unique feature of the medaber. Mitzvahs is connected more to behavior and passion and so forth. That's A. Weiter. Chaya medaber is Yud and K. The medaber is the Yud of Shem Havaya, and the Chay is the K of Shem Havaya, which also connected to Chachma and Bina. Which Chacham is pure Seichel. And Bina is already its manifestation and a source for Midas. Also, the Yud is connected to Shem Yudke Vavke, and the He is connected to Alekim. Alekim is Begamatri Hateva. There's already nature, there's program, there's no real transcendence. Hayahoeva Viyikachat. Alekim consists of five letters. He says that's why he says five in Yanim. But Yudke Vavke Havaya consists of four letters. That's why he says only four things. Then he says in the Meichen experience there is Chachma and Bina, and there is Das, also consists of two elements, Chesed and Gvura. That's why there's four parshiyos in Shema. There's Shema and Vahayim Shemaya, and Kaddish and Vahayim Kiviyacha. Correspond to the four moichin of Yudke Vavke, which is Chachma Bina, and in Das there's also two Chesed and Gvura. So he says the first two things is the Chachma and Bina of the moichin, and then there's the V'chein B'Kavana, so he goes over to Das, Chesed and Gvura of Das, which is Mespal and Mavarech. But in the latter, there's already no division, because you're dealing already with Alekim, with Hateva, you're dealing with Teva, more with Midais, and so forth. It's much more messy. Things are combined. In Meichen, things are much more distinct and differentiated. Because that's the chilik also of a man's middis and an animal's middis. A man's middis can be dissected and recreated. To make sense out of the feelings, which is a Meichen. A Meichen. Why do I feel angry? Where's the anger coming from?
How to respond?
And
compartmentalization.
You have to compartmentalize your middos, that's meichen, and examine them and deal with them. So the box, and the first one is there's boxes because it's meichen, mashenk, and in the latter there's middos, so there's no boxes. It's all one big mishmash. That's some of the Kudusi says. It's quite interesting. You mean you challenge me using the term spirituality when we're talking about godliness?
Yeah.
I didn't understand. No, you're right. I chapped after I said the word.
Yeah.
after I said the word that spirituality is not negeya here. Because maisa ha-mitzvah is not spiritual, kavana is spiritual, guf is not spiritual, nefesh is spiritual, and the hester is the same in both.
The hester is because spirituality
right. In this, spirituality is just as muster as physicality. Psychology doesn't express godliness more than physicality. I went after Melitzis Haloshin and I shouldn't have used the word spirituality. You're right. I stand corrected. Bilam was a Navi.
He
was a spiritual man. You're saying, but he was not a godly man. If he would have been godly, it would have changed him. Since he was only spiritual, he remained a coarse lowlife. He got in touch with the nefesh of existence, but he never pierced the hester of existence. He transcended the symptom of existence to his pashtus of existence, but he didn't go from hester to gili, which is Yiddishkeit, Torah mitzvahs. He went from daimim to tzemeach to chai to medaber, but he didn't transcend the hester. That's what Bilam was. And Moshe Rabbeinu was gili, didn't transcend the symptom. Right. Whew, a gute Nacht.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.